are doing an incredible job without any accompaniment of musical instruments. And last week, Harold led the singing, and this week you led the singing. And I just tipped my hat. I followed you, Eric, very well. But if I didn't have you on there, I'd be all over the scale, up and down in the wrong places and everywhere else. So thank you very much for doing that for us this morning. Okay. Now, Lord willing, we're going to finish another series today. I don't know what we're going to do when we finish all these series. We'll have nothing else left to do. But if you're just joining us, this is the last part of a series from 2 Peter chapter 1. So please take your Bibles and turn to 2 Peter. And a few weeks ago, we thought we would give some thoughts from the first 11 verses of 2 Peter chapter 1, sort of under the theme of the abundant life that Jesus died to give us, John 10 and 10, and sort of challenging myself and challenging you, why is it that if God has provided everything that we need and the Lord Jesus promised to give us an abundant life, an exciting, adventurous, zealous, wonderful life, why is it that we don't have that more? Why do we struggle with that? And so I suggested at the beginning that Peter, my goodness, Peter is about to be killed. Church tradition has it that he will be crucified unlike the Lord Jesus, and that he requests to be crucified upside down, not worthy to be crucified in the same manner as his Lord. This, like Paul's last letter of 2 Timothy chapter 4, this would be Peter's last letter as far as we know in 2 Peter. And not thinking about himself or his woes or anything else, he is out to encourage the Christians, build up the Christians, warn the Christians, remind the Christians. And his last days are just spent in absolute selfless consideration for himself and a wonderful ministry to those who've been scattered abroad, the discouraged, those who've been downtrodden, those who may feel that there's little or no hope left. And so he gives them hope in his epistles, first and second Peter, and primarily in second Peter, warns them about all these bad guys who are coming, false teachers, false preachers, wrong doctrines, selfish, building up, making merchandise of the people of God. But in these first 11 verses, I'm suggesting that he encourages us to expand our faith, to put wings and boots on the ground of faith, that it might encourage us, and it might also be a testimony to others that faith is real. It's not just words that we say. And so I broke these 11 verses down into three points, three topics. Verses 1 to 4, I'm going to suggest we talked about the foundation. No other foundation can be laid than Jesus Christ himself. And Peter talks about our faith in Christ. And faith is inseparable. Are you listening? Inseparable from salvation. If you don't have faith in the Lord Jesus, you don't have salvation. Okay. So he talks about the foundation. In verses 5 to 7, he talks about in my picture that I'm wanting you to get in your mind is the building materials provided to build a house on the foundation of Christ. We start with faith, and then we add to our faith. We expand our faith. And then the third part is the end of the project, or maybe practical results of building your life on Christ. And that's sort of where we've been. We have taken a few Lord's days to try to work through this. And I want to read those first 11 verses for you again. And we're going to actually finish today where we started some weeks ago. I started by asking you the question in verse 8, or the statement in verse 8, if these things are in you, and in verse 9, if you lack these things, or if these things are not in you. Now, those are the way we kind of started this a few weeks ago. And we ask ourselves the question, well, what's these things? What could be in you? What could be lacking in your life? And so we went back to the first verse and we worked our way down. And we're going to end today with those verses, verses 8 through 11. So you watch your Bible, please. And let me read for you 2 Peter chapter 1, the first 11 verses. Simon Peter, a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus, our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are in you and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things, or if these things are not in you and abound, you're short-sighted, even to blindness, and have forgotten that you were cleansed from your old sin. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So in your mind, you visualize a foundation there on the ground, made out of concrete. It's solid. It's good. Beside the foundation, you see a pile of building materials. Everything in the pile of building materials you need to build a very nice structure, a house. And so in our last studies, we went to the pile of building materials and we started taking them out one by one. We call the building materials the very things that he suggests that we add to our faith. Now you got to start with faith and you got to continue with faith and you're going to end up with faith. But then one day, faith is going to give way to sight. And like Job, we'll be able to say, I see him with my own eyes. I will see the Lord with my eyes. Nobody will have to tell me, there's the Lord. I'm going to see him myself. But not now. By now, we love him even though we haven't seen him. And we continue by faith. So let's notice then the structure as it is presented and the realities that if I take the building material and I add or I expand or I build or practice what the scriptures are telling me, that's the virtue, knowledge, temperance, all those things. If I practice those things, then there's going to be three benefits. Notice it again in verse number 8. We're talking about the practical result now of adding to your faith. For if these things are yours or in you and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me suggest for you that there are three benefits for us. I should say, from our perspective, these are three benefits. Do you know if you live a godly life, an obedient life, if you walk with your hand in the hand of the Lord, if you allow him to lead you, do you know what that does? It brings a smile on the face of the Lord Jesus. That's what that does. You know, he's proud to say, that's one of mine right there. He is thrilled with his children who are obedient children. Now, let me suggest that in verse 8, if these things are in you, and you just got them, there's a list of them, seven of them right there. We just read them and went through them last week. So if you're practicing these things, let me suggest for you there are three benefits, okay? If you're taking notes, number one, if these things are in you, you're going to have, are you listening, a satisfying life. Satisfying life. The obedient Christian is a happy Christian. Did you hear that? The obedient Christian is the happy Christian. Not the disobedient Christian. He doesn't have a satisfying life. Not at all. The disobedient Christian's got sin in his life. Oh, he's a Christian, all right. But he's disobedient. He can't be happy. We heard our brother Eric and we sang it with him, trust and obey. There's no other way to be a happy Christian. You can't do it any other way. So the obedient Christian is the happy Christian. A satisfying life. What do you mean by satisfying life? A life that is full. You're not worried. You're glad to be in the family of God. You go, oh my, I can't believe the Lord is so good. Let me use two illustrations for a minute. Could you imagine a kite? A kite, you know, you put a string on the kite and you fly it out there in the wind. Let's imagine a kite saying, I want to go where no kite is ever going. I want to go higher than any kite that's ever been flown on the globe, but I don't want this string attached to me. I just want to be independent. I just want to do my own thing. Do you know what happens when you cut the string on the kite? Well, you know what happens. It just kind of goes away and it goes down. It certainly doesn't go higher. It falls to the earth. The string is the very thing that makes the kite soar. Okay. Now think about it this way. What if a train said, a train, choo-choo train, okay, Amtrak, whatever, okay? What if a train said, I want to go where no train has ever gone. I want to go places that no train has ever gone before, but I don't want to be confined to these tracks. Where does a train go if you get it off the tracks? Nowhere. You imagine a Christian saying, I want the most adventurous, zealous, ambitious, satisfying, wonderful life. But I don't want Jesus telling me what to do. Good luck. It is the obedient Christian that's the happy Christian. So by the grace of God, you've been to the building materials, you're taking them and you're putting, you're adding, you're expanding, your faith is now obvious, it's working. And guess what? You are satisfied because it's God's way. This is God's way. You've got everything that pertains to life and godliness. He's given you all the building materials that you need. Just take them and use them. It's like the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. We're never told to make the armor. We're told to take the armor, to appropriate the armor in our lives. And so if these things mentioned in verses 5-7 are in you, you're doing them. Listen, nobody's perfect. Don't beat yourself up. Just keep working on it. Keep working on it. These things are in you and abound. If you're working on them, you will have a satisfying life. You won't be lazy, barren, unfruitful. You know what I like to think about that? Every time I hear about something being unfruitful, I'm thinking, oh, it never developed, right? You got a plant, you got a tree, and it's no fruit. There's no evidence. See, fruit is evidence of a healthy tree. If you put these things in your life, it's going to be evidence of a healthy life. And you know what? The Lord's going to bless you, and you're going to bear fruit, and you're not going to be lazy, and you're going to be effective as a Christian. You're going to say, my goodness, why didn't I do this years ago? It is so satisfying to walk with the Lord. Number two, you're going to have a wonderful confidence. If you add these things, you're going to have a satisfying life. You're going to have a wonderful confidence. I want you to notice what it says in verse 10. Be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, now here we are to the these things again. You got that? The these things in verse 8. The these things are the same things in verse 10. If you practice these things by adding them in verse 8, if you do these things, notice you'll never stumble. And how do you make your calling and election sure? Oh, listen, you can't make anything sure more than what God already says, okay? Whether you're sure or not, it doesn't matter when God is sure. You're calling an election sure. See, God gives us a calling. I can't explain all this, brother, but I can tell you this. If God gives you a calling and you choose Christ, you are the elect, okay? And how would I even know that? How would I make that sure? By living the Christian life. Not that I live it in myself, but listen, I said a happy Christian is an obedient Christian, okay? You know, a confident Christian is an obedient Christian. Listen, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved because the Lord said, if I trust Jesus, I'm saved. But I tell you how else I know I'm saved. My life changed. I'm not what I was. And by the grace of God, I've gone on and on and on, not in myself, but I can do all things through Christ. His grace is sufficient. And the more you walk with the Lord, are you listening? You will be more confident. And you will know that the Lord has done a work in your life. Your calling and election, sure. How do I know that? By doing these things. Never stumble. Oh, that doesn't mean you're never going to have a hiccup in your life. That doesn't mean you're never going to fall at some point and have to repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry, and confess your sin. But it means you're, if these things are in your life and abound, let me tell you something. You are going to not fall into disgrace. You're not going to be an embarrassment for the Lord Jesus. You're going to be a Christian that is a vessel fit for the master's use. That's what you're going to be. And as you plod along in life, you're going to be in happy fellowship with the Lord. And the third thing we're going to have is this: not only a satisfying life, not only a wonderful confidence, okay, but then you're going to have an abundant entrance when that day comes. Notice it in verse 11, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. This is not if you get into heaven, this is how you get into heaven. Wouldn't it be nice on that day when the Lord calls you, or when he comes and we all go, wouldn't it be nice not to be ashamed that day? Wouldn't it be nice to hear him say, well done, good for you. You trusted me, and by my grace, you added to your faith and you practice these things. I am delighted to welcome you into my heaven and my kingdom. Welcome to eternity with me, the Lord Jesus. Wouldn't that be something? I mean, it's something just to get there, but to have special recognition in a sense. You know, there are rewards, let's face it. God gives, listen, he gives rewards. And you and I work for the Lord, not because we hope to get a reward. You've already got everlasting life. You've already got your sins forgiven. You already got heaven as your home. Why then would you work for the Lord? Because you want to please him. You want to say to him by your life, I appreciate, I love you. Thank you for saving me and keeping me and giving me a chance to work with you on earth, to serve you here. And you get a reward for that. He gives rewards. There are crowns to be earned. But all this abundant entrance is something else. Again, not that we would be ashamed. We talked about in our earlier session, we talked about Paul saying, I've run the race, kept the faith, finished the course. Remember that? Therefore, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. The Lord does that. That's what he's talking about, an abundant entrance. Not that you get to heaven and you kind of go, I wonder if I'm going to get in. Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice to have a satisfying life? Wouldn't it be wonderful to have a steadfast confidence that the Lord is working in your life? Isn't it something to think that I might even have an abundant entrance to get into heaven to be with the Lord? Well, if these things are in you, we read in verse 8, and abound, these things will be a reality. Now, just turn the coin. Just, you got your coin? I flip it. Flip it over. And look at verse 9. He who lacks these things, oh my, oh my. This is not good. The building material is for this, for verse number 9, the building material is still sitting in the grass over here beside the foundation. Or would I dare even suggest it? He who lacks these things. What if you don't have any of those things? What if you only pretended to have them? What if there even is no foundation? Oh, that'd be a sad story, wouldn't it? On that day, You fooled everybody else. You didn't fool yourself because you know you haven't trusted the Lord, and you didn't fool anybody else really because you tried to live a Christian life, but everybody knew you were a hypocrite. You can't get away with it. You can't even fool man, much less God. Be careful if there's anybody here this morning that tried to build a spiritual house without Jesus Christ as the foundation. It will crumble and fall in that day, and you'll have nothing that day. Zero. But let's suppose you do have the foundation. And let's suppose that over the years, the grass has grown up in the foundation. And you never went to the pile of building materials and you never built. Here is your testimony. Notice what it says. You are short-sighted and blind and have forgotten. There are three realities. You know how there are three benefits if you're built by the grace of God? Satisfying life, wonderful confidence, abundant life. There are three realities here if you didn't build. Number one, you're blind. Number two, you're short-sighted. Number three, you're forgetful. Blind. You can't see what's going on in life. You don't know what's going on in life. You might have started building. You got a couple of boards on the building, and then you said, this is too hard, and you quit. And now you're blind. You can't. You don't know what life is about. You're trying to put the pieces of life together without using all that God has given you. You don't have life abundantly. You don't have godliness. And things are desperate for you. Short-sighted, you only live for today. That I think I know some Christians that only live for today. You know what happens to them when the stock market bottoms out? You know what happens to them? It's very difficult for them because they're only living for today. Let me tell you something. If you've added to your faith these things, you're living for another world. If God blesses you here, isn't that wonderful? If you don't have a lot of things that other people have, that's okay because you're not living for this world. You're living for another world. But people who haven't built, they can't figure it out. They are blind. They're so short-sighted. They don't know what a day or an hour brings. And let me tell you one of the worst things that happen. Not only you can't figure it out because you're living for the wrong world, but you have forgotten. I think I told you the story. I asked this old man, I said, tell me how you got saved. And he starts going like this. He's trying to give me his testimony. He looked at me and he said, I never got over it. He's weeping. 75 years in Christ and he's weeping. He said, I never got over it. You are in trouble when you get over it. If you don't add, if you don't build, if you don't expand, if you don't trust the Lord, you don't know what's going on in your life. You're living only for the day. Anything messes your day up. Anything terrifies you. You're afraid on, and you've forgotten the most important thing in life, the day you met Jesus and what he did for you. Think back, please. Think back. You know what the Lord said to the church that forgot? Repent. Don't live like this the rest of your life. Tell the Lord you're sorry. Tell him you don't want to live like this. You go over to that building, a pile of building materials, and you say, Lord, by your grace, I'm starting right now. I don't want to be blind. I want to have some spiritual vision. I don't want to be short-sighted. I want to live for eternity. And I don't want to ever forget what you did for me on the cross. You won't be barren anymore. You won't be unfruitful anymore. You won't be short-sighted anymore. And you will remember every day the grace of God in your life. Let me close with verse 12, 13, and 15. 12, 13, and 15, because the same word is used in those verses. And I want to leave you with this thought. Peter says in verse 12, "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, even though you already know them and established in the present truth." Peter said, "I'm dying. I'm going to be crucified. Jesus already told me I'm going to be taken by people I don't know, and they're going to take me to a place I don't want to go." He knew it. But he said, "This one thing I do, I will not neglect telling you the truth, even though you know it." There's the word remind. Okay. Look at verse 13. "Yes, I think it is right as long as I am in this tent," that means his body, his temporal physical body, "to stir you up by" what? "Reminding you." Look at verse 15. "Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things." Peter said, "I'm out of here. I'm going. My time is up. Day is at hand. Lord's calling me. I'm about to meet Jesus. But I want to remind you. I want to remind you. I want to put you in remembrance of these things." Brothers and sisters, I would dare say that in these weeks that we have studied these first 11 verses, you probably never learned anything new. That's okay. You probably already knew. But I reminded you of it. Why do you think Jesus said, "Remember me every time you come together in the breaking of the bread"? "Or as often as you do it"? Why do you think he said that? Because we forget. We forget. Peter says, "I'm going to just keep doing this. I don't have long, but I'm just going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep reminding and keep reminding and keep reminding." Look at verse 1 of chapter 3. Chapter 3, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder." It has been my privilege to share these thoughts with you. So I guess I got to ask you the question in closing. You ever took a look at your spiritual house lately? How does it look? Got a good foundation? You know Jesus? Wonderful. How's the house look? How's the spiritual building look? You expanded? Added to your faith? Put some wings and shoes and doing okay? Things, are they in you? Are they abounding? Great. Satisfying life, wonderful confidence, abundant entrance. That's yours. That's what the word says. If you don't have them, sad. Sad life. It's okay. Let me remind you of something. The guy that wrote this denied the Lord 3 times one night. He said, "I'll die for you." Jesus said, 3 times tonight you'll deny me. This is the guy. He got right with the Lord. He was restored. He's used to preach the first message in the church. 3,000 people get saved. 5,000 the next day. God is using this man in an unbelievable way. He said, "Peter, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom. Go out to the Jew. Go to the Samaritans. Go to the Gentiles. Spread the word." That's the man. Now, don't you give up, okay? If you haven't done well and the foundation looks pretty rickety, There's nothing on it, or there's a little bit. You built one room and you walked away like Haggai. Go back. Go back. It's okay. Peter was restored, and you can be restored too. Go tell the Lord you're sorry. And for those of you that are building, be not weary in well-doing, okay? Don't be weary. Just keep on keeping on. Let's pray. Father, once again, we find ourselves the recipient of grace upon grace, mercy upon mercy, love upon love, understanding, compassion, forgiveness, comfort, care. Lord, we ought to be the happiest, most exciting people on earth. We, of all people, should be experiencing the abundant life. Why aren't we? Lord, don't walk away. Please don't leave us to ourselves. Work with us, Lord. Work with us. Build us up in our most holy faith. Help us to go to that building material pile and take out something and add it today for Christ's sake. Amen.